Tasos Galiotos, etc. versus Stavros Galiotos, etc. et al. John C. Lynch, Megan Burns, Appellant's Counsel, Monica Taylor Monday, David R. Berry, Appellee's Counsel.
All right, Mr. Lynch, you may proceed.
Yeah. May it please the court, thank you. John Lynch representing Tasos Galiotos, and the trial court erred with our position in removing Tasos as an executor. As we talked about, Steve committed the breach of trust in this situation and Tasos did not. And I'd like to talk about Executive Cove, and I've already articulated to the court that a breach of fiduciary finding was not made by the trial court. But I'd like to explain about why what Tasos did with Executive Cove based on the record and the law was correct and something that could not properly be the basis of any type of finding that he caused the friction or a breach of trust. So Executive Cove is an office park, and Executive Cove in its beginning was owned by the brothers and the mother. And then as of 2008, only Tasos and his mother owned this office park. It was approximately 65% Tasos, 35% his mother. Then the mother died. And there's provisions in the operating agreement, and specifically 10.4, which is talking about a right of first refusal. And then there's a provision 18.16, which describes a transfer. And the purpose of these provisions is that someone who is not a member, a third party to the membership interest at that time, if there's any type of chance or it's imminent that there's a transfer of the company interest, and transfer includes bequeathing, and that's specifically in the definition of transfer. So after the IRS letter was issued in the situation in this estate, Tasos knew there was going to be a transfer from the estate to the trust, and that was the bequest that was made by his mother. So it was going to go from her estate to the trust. So in that situation, under the language in 10.4, Tasos as a member, a 65% member, was allowed to ask the company to purchase that interest. And he did that. He asked the company to do that. The company did the right of first refusal for the redemption. Steve, I don't even think he had to give Steve notice, but he did give Steve notice as the co-executor. And Steve did not make an offer. And Tasos, on behalf of the company, made the offer, paid $580,000 for that interest, so he would own 100% of that interest. That money has been paid. During the trial of this matter, Tasos put the expert up to show that it was fair value to buy that that membership and company interest, and no rebuttal was made at all. They didn't cross-examine the expert. They didn't put on their own expert to say the amount of money that was being paid was inadequate to the estate. There was nothing on that whatsoever. And we take the position that that was proper. Tasos was allowed to do that since he owned 65%. That was the purpose of the operating agreement. So there would not be, if there was a bequest or something that would, you know, be coming into this family partnership, that another partner could exercise that right of redemption to have the company purchase that interest.
Mr. Lynch, as a factual matter, did Tasos exercise the right of redemption before the transfer went to the IAG Trust?
Yes, Justice, yes. That transfer still hadn't, a lot of the assets, Justice, have not been transferred even today. And Ms. Monday talked about the lawsuit that Mr. Galiotis has filed. He has filed a lawsuit. He is asking for the trust assets to be distributed pro rata and the estate assets to be distributed pro rata. So a large majority of both the estate and the trust assets have not been issued. The language under 10.4 is when a member has reason to believe that an involuntary or transfer by operation of law is reasonably foreseeable. And Tassos started that redemption process as soon as the IRS letter was issued, and he knew it was imminent that there would be a transfer of that asset from the estate to the trust. And that's something that's allowed under this agreement. Steve didn't like it. Steve wanted to have his own, just have the estate. He wanted to be able to use that interest in executive code to trade on other properties so he could be a majority on other properties and do use this as some horse trading. But the only two members, Steve and Paul, the other brother, had been bought out of Executive Cove as of 2008. So it was only Tassos and it was only the estate and his mother that owned this entity. So Tassos had every right as a 65% owner. He had been managing the property for well over 10 years, and it was him and his mother, and he allowed to exercise that right of redemption.
And so your position, as a factual matter, was he acting as a member of Executive Cove, or was he acting as an executor of the estate?
So there was some confusion. I think he was acting in both capacities. And if you look at the letter when he sent the notices, he was trying to act in both capacities because, frankly, he wanted to be able to have all his bases covered. I'm trying to be as frank as I can with the court. And that's what he did. In our view, it doesn't matter because he was a member in his individual capacity. I think he felt like when he sent the notice, since he was giving notice to the estate too, he needed to explain that he was the co-executor as well. I mean, we take the position he was doing it in both capacities. But
would you agree that he could not do it in his capacity as co-executor without Steve's agreement? I don't know if he could do it at all. Go ahead.
Well, there is a power of attorney provision in the Executive Code operating agreement. I certainly think, first of all, only the member could do it. So the member here was Tassos individually. I do agree that decisions have to be made by co-executors together. I think he was just trying to, you know, list all his capacities when he took the action.
And, Mr. Lynch, and again, this is Justice Kelsey.
And this was in the best interest of the estate. The estate got $580,000, and the testimony at trial was it was valued as a full membership and not as just an economic interest. And the expert said if it was just an economic interest and not a membership or company interest, the value would have even been lower. And that's one reason Judge Patrick said, you know, I'm not sure if this was exactly done properly or not, but I think the estate got full value for it based on what the expert testified to.
I guess to the extent the trial court did not rule on it and left it to the administrator to deal with, is that something that we need to deal with except to recognize that was another instance that the judge cited of the parties not being able to get along?
I agree with you, Justice. That I don't think Executive Cove, whether that was a valid transfer, I think that's something that would be left for whoever is the executor to have ruled on by our court. But my point is, when Tassos did this, if you look at it, he was a 65% member. He had a right to do it. And my only point for this proceeding is it wasn't declared as a breach of fiduciary duty, and he had a contractual right per the operating agreement to do it. So it's not a valid ground to remove him as executor. But I don't think the legality or the properness of the transaction is something that's squarely in front of this court today.
Mr. Lynch, this is Justice Kelsey. I have to confess that the arguments of both Steve and Tassos seem to me to be like a nano analysis of every specific grievance that they've had against each other. But when I read the trial court's comments and rulings, it seems to me the trial court is essentially saying, don't miss the forest for the trees. The level of acrimony had risen to the point where there is no foreseeable hope of these two brothers working together in the future. And they're going to sue each other and accuse each other of things forever in this position. So if the scope of the chancellor's authority can go to irreconcilable differences, why isn't it simply a question of not whether any particular event was a breach of fiduciary duty, but whether a reasonable chancellor, looking at the equities on both sides, could say the best thing for this estate is to have a completely impartial administrator? So from that perspective, what criticism do you have of that perspective? Because that seemed to be the perspective of the trial court.
Justice Kelsey, I, in all candor, believe that is the perspective of the trial court. I think that's what the trial court ruled. I don't think the trial court ruled on any specific, you know, Tassos was wrong on this, Steve was definitely wrong on that. I guess my perspective was I just wanted to point out to the court that we believe his actions on Executive Cove were authorized under the operating agreement. And that seemed to be the one main
criticism.
You may be
exactly right. I mean, it's a matter for another day in all likelihood, but is it really the point? So both sides has to convince our court that the chancellor did not handle this from an equitable perspective, given the scope of his authority. And kicking out Tassos as well as Steve, in all candor, from my perspective, seems like a presumptively reasonable response to a situation where these two brothers will never be able to agree on anything. It's evident. And going back to the comment I made to Ms. Mundy, can you imagine what Mom would think of this? This can't be Mom's intention, that the brothers would be at each other's throat, or that one would take one out, or the other would take the other out. If we could get into the mind of a loving mother, and I'm sure she was, the odds are pretty strong that she's probably saying, thank you, Judge Padraic.
Justice Kelsey, I completely understand that perspective. I really do. So I'm just an advocate today for making my points for Tassos Galeotis. And
I certainly appreciate your advocacy, to be sure.
Okay. That is all I have. There is one other issue. There was the exclusion of Paul Galeotis as a witness, and that we did articulate that in the briefs, that is a requirement. It was asked twice. Paul was not excluded. His testimony was brief, but it was supportive of Steve. We do think that was an error. Whether that was harmless error or not, he did get to hear the opening statements, and he should have been excluded. He wasn't a party. And we do think that was improper and another basis for potential reversal of this action. And that's all I have. Thank you very much, and I'm sorry about the disconnection.
That's quite all right. You have 1 minute, 49 seconds left. Are you waiving that?
I'm waiving that, Judge.
All right. Ms. Mundy?
May it please the court. Again, good morning. I'm Monica Mundy on behalf of Steve Galeotis. This court should affirm the trial court's removal of Tasso for three main reasons. First, as we've discussed, the court found that Tasso breached his fiduciary duty. Tasso admits that he did not appeal that finding, and it's dispositive to the appeal. Second, even if the court didn't make that finding, Tasso's conduct still rose to a level to support his removal, and the record supports his removal on those grounds. He was not permitted under the operating agreement to redeem the estate's interest in Executive Cove, and he did so unilaterally and over Steve's objection. And third, Paul's presence in the courtroom could not have harmed Tasso and did not warrant trial. So let me first address the Executive Cove redemption. And Mr. Lynch has indicated that Tasso proceeded with the redemption in two ways, as a member and as a co-executor. This is incorrect. At the joint appendix, page 2330, Tasso sent his notice of his intent to redeem the estate's interest, and he states, On behalf of the estate of Irene Galeotis, to which I serve as co-executor and as attorney in fact for the estate, I have reason to believe, etc., etc. He did so as co-executor of the estate. The idea that he was an offering member was not an idea posed until we got to trial. There was no indication in any of the documents that he sent that he was doing so as a member. He was doing so as a co-executor. Tasso's counsel has now agreed that he was not permitted to do that unilaterally. It was improper. And we know this, although this court has not held that, we know that the executors were required to act jointly because the will did not permit them to act severally. We also know that under the restatement of trusts, which I believe is analogous, that it provides that that trustees, your executors, must act together. And we now have an admission that Tasso acted unilaterally, which of course the trial court made an explicit finding that he acted unilaterally over Steve's objection. He could not proceed to redeem the estate's interest in Executive Cove without Steve's agreement. Now, what we really have in addition to an improper redemption, which is not allowed under the language of the operating agreement, we also have it done unilaterally. What we also have is a conflicted transaction. In his capacity as co-executor, Tasso offered an estate asset for sale so that he could purchase it. This is the definition of a conflicted transaction. When Steve fought, when Steve sent Tasso his objecting to this, said all of it. He said, you cannot do it under the operating agreement, and you cannot do it because it's a conflicted transaction. What did Tasso do? He filed this lawsuit, and then he proceeded with the redemption. We also know that he refused to even explore any other offers to purchase this for a higher value. So this was an improper transaction. We believe that it rose to the level of a breach of fiduciary duty. We think that the trial court found that it was to fiduciary duty, and even if it wasn't, it still rises to the level to support removal. Another point that was very, very obvious during the trial also had caused the resignation of two of the estate's CPAs. Now, this is not bickering or little stuff. It further demonstrates that the parties were able to get along with regards to certain things. Both the co-executors both together hired two CPAs to help with the estate. Both of them came on to the trial and testified that they could get along with Tasso. Steve, they could get along with. Tasso, they could not. Tasso's lawyer didn't even cross-examine one of the CPAs who testified because it was so obvious. And for one of the CPAs testified that it was the first time in 20 years that they had to do this. So then to complicate matters, Tasso, again acting unilaterally, which he's not allowed to do, goes out and hires another estate counsel without letting Steve know. This, of course, upset Steve, but eventually he agreed to the secretly hired CPA. So this conduct, acting unilaterally, harms the estate. This harms the estate because you're not allowed to do it, and both executors are supposed to work together. And we know from the record that a lot of times when they work together, it benefited the estate. But here, this was harmful to the estate. Constantly having to switch out with CPAs and estate counsel causes delay and extra expense to the estate. Finally, turning to the issue of Paul being in the courtroom, we have a problem really with the record that prevents the court from reaching its decision, and that we don't even know for what portion of the trial Paul was in the courtroom. At Joint Appendix page 362, Paul actually said he wasn't in the courtroom for the whole time. So we don't even know what kind of harm could have been caused, but there certainly wasn't any harm. Paul was Tasso's own witness. He called him. He was largely an inconsequential witness, testified only very, very briefly, but Tasso was able to ask him leading questions and directed him the entire time. Also, Paul testified before Steve, so he couldn't have possibly even tailored his testimony to match Steve's case. So there was absolutely no harm caused by Paul being in the courtroom for even part of this case. Again, Your Honors, the trial court made a finding that Tasso breached his fiduciary duty in redeeming the estate's interest in Executive Cove. It plainly was not permitted under the language of the operating agreement because it could only be redeemed in an instance where there was an offering member whose interests were at stake, and Tasso was not an offering member whose interests were at stake. This was an estate asset that Tasso, in his individual capacity, tried to sell to himself, which he accomplished. He could not do so because the co-executors had to agree, and they had to together make that decision, and Steve did not agree. If there are no questions, we would ask that Tasso's removal be.
All right, thank you very much, Mr. Lynch and Ms. Monday. The clerk will call the next case.